Paul Figueres. I apologize if I've butchered your last name. I'll be corrected shortly once we get him on the phone, I'm sure. But Paul is from the Vegan Environmental Party of Ontario. And this party came out, was founded in 2011. Their mandate says that they are advocates of animal rights, the environment, and social justice. So I wanted to talk to Paul and just find out some of the more details specifically about their particular platform. But also specifically, just simply about being such a, I mean, name only, there's the Green Party and then there's the Vegan Environmental Party of Ontario. As far as labeling yourself, definitely a sub-market, right? Environment doesn't appeal to everybody. So they're going after a target audience, I'd imagine. For now, I do have Paul on the line. Are you there, Paul?
I am here.
Now, first thing I have to ask you is whether or not I butchered your last name.
No, you did it. You did a fantastic job. Yeah.
Awesome. I get one out of every few. I've got Kevin as well here. He's going to be jumping in because unfortunately my voice is a little rough today, so we're going to be sort of sharing. But the first thing I wanted to kind of get out of the way here was, as I was sort of mentioning during the intro there, you know, the Green Party of Canada is someone else who's been identified themselves as an environmental party. They've been around for many, many years and still finding in the low percents in a lot of places. Not huge representation. We have another environmental group. For your average voter that doesn't necessarily see all the micro differences between anyone except for the three majors, how do you make yourself stand out? And if you want to explain your platform and how that applies to generally to Ontario, so we'll go through some of the details later, but just what sort of face are you hoping to present to Ontarians?
Sure, absolutely. So just to kind of touch on the differences first, certainly, and this is something that I've been approached by folks with several times regarding why we are set up as a party when there's a Green Party. And kind of the key differences that we have is we feel from the get-go that we're more green in terms of our environmental policies. The Green Party does not promote the abolition of animal agriculture as we promote, of course, animal agriculture by both the United Nations and Livestock's Long Shadow report, and by World Watch Institute, having been singled out as the single greatest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions as an industry on the planet, along with the greatest contributors to soil depletion, water pollution, energy usage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's really a long litany of list of environmental issues that go along with it. But the question of representation and how to put on a different face, I think actually it also stems from two key problems that we have within our electoral system. So I don't feel that there is a lack of representation within the voting public voters who are interested in green issues and who would vote for parties that are promoting green issues. I think the greatest problem that we run into is the lack of an electoral system that is actually fully democratic. Our first past the post system, of course, doesn't actually represent the views of voters as a proportional representation system.
So I'm glad you started there. That's actually where I wanted to start as well. This when at first read, you wouldn't immediately associate this as an environmentally relevant issue. But why is it? Why is something called about proportional representation and changing the voting system important for an environmental group?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not just important for an environmental group. Certainly, it's important for any party that is not in the big three as we typically understand them. Simply because what a lot of people are beginning more and more to understand is that when you go to the polling station and you cast your vote, if you haven't actually cast your vote for the specific individual who gets the most votes in your riding, Your vote has essentially been wasted. Something which doesn't happen in a proportional representation type of system, which it benefits everyone. It actually brings more voices to the table. It encourages political parties to act more cooperatively across the floor. So there's really a litany, and of course it promotes democracy. So there's a litany of reasons why not just a small party or an environmental party would be interested in this, but why it benefits all parties and everyone in society.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be able to benefit all parties. There would certainly be some losers, but I think the majority of parties may end up getting their votes split a little bit wider.
Well, I would contend that that promoting a more democratic system definitely benefits all parties, whether you receive more votes or less votes as a result of better democracy. certainly better democracy is a benefit.
I would have to agree. Maybe what I could rephrase that as, not all parties would see it as a benefit if their only concern is as many voters as possible.
Sure, absolutely. Yes. if we had a PR system in place, both at the provincial and the federal level, for example, we wouldn't have a majority Harper government at the federal level right now, because they only took away something like 37% of the popular vote.
Okay, so let's get a little bit into some of your other platform issues here. One of the things, just at first glance when I skimmed through, was that I saw sort of a general theme about increased funding for post-secondary education. So you wanted to eliminate post-secondary fees and that sort of things. There was, what else? There's a couple other ones here that grabbed my attention. Sorry. Nutritional counseling. A lot of things in general, end government funding for animal agriculture was the one of the only ones that I saw that was actually a removing of funds. Has this all been like balanced, or are these sort of ideals that you hope to strive for? What way? Because the general impression that I got from skimming through the first thing, that the only conclusion would be that is that taxes would have to go up.
Right.
Has that balanced? Have you actually run the good numbers on that?
Yeah, absolutely. We put a lot of thought into where the dollars and cents come from. So if we take, for example, the elimination of post-secondary tuition fees, we certainly, of course, it appears as if at the outset this is simply an outlay of funds, which, you know, per student in terms of a budget is really a drop in the bucket. But when we look at it from a cradle to grave type of perspective, we begin to understand that a more educated populace is a populace that, for example, tends to engage in at a lower rate in violent crime. So policing goes down. It's also a populace that tends to take better care of their health. So healthcare costs go down. It's also a populace that if you have a better education, you tend to, over the course of your lifetime, contribute a greater amount of dollars to the tax base because you're earning more. So when we look at it from cradle to grave, we feel a lot of the payback. They come back in an exponential kind of fashion, and you know, and of course we have a happier society. I mean, if we remove this stress of having to figure out a way to pay for post-secondary education, whether it be through parents having to save for many years or students, which majority of students having to take out massive loans and live in their parents' basement for multiple years trying to pay them back after college university education. I mean, this is really what we're talking about. You know, creating a happier, more egalitarian type of society.
All right. Now, just coming back general concepts again for a minute there, even just the name grabs me for a minute, the Vegan Environmental Party of Ontario. We did a show with Leah, actually, as our guest a while ago about veganism, vegan food, and we talked a little bit about some of the biases that people have against even, you know, while it's becoming more popular first, in some circles, it still is a euphemism for calling you a loon to say that you're a vegan. What is your intention around getting acceptance of that? Are you looking for a hardcore, dedicated core of people to support your party to affect policy and then hopefully one day get elected? Or do you think that you can go out and change people's minds about these issues? Because I have to say that my first instinct would be that many people, not necessarily me, but many people would even just look at the name of your party and go, bunch of nutters.
Right. Absolutely. And I think this is part of the reason that we wanted to ensure from the start that we had such a well-developed platform with various issues that reach different people. But a lot of the idea behind crafting the name as we did was to draw the inference in people's minds between veganism and environmental issues, show the correlation between the two. Within a lot of people don't know this, but within the Green Party proper itself, there's been a lot of discord around this issue, and a lot of people who were promoting plant-based diets, vegan diets, have actually left the Green Party as disgruntled ex-members because there really is not a lot of place for dialogue there. And we think this is a major problem. It's a major issue. We think more people, more and more every day, are becoming more attuned to environmental issues, more attuned to the tolling of the bell, so to speak, that we're in as a planet. Although we've talked about this for many years from an anecdotal perspective, the correlation between vegan diets and the environment, it really wasn't until the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization published their great report, Livestock's Long Shadow, that the numbers really became quantified, and that the anecdotal aspect of it was made moot. So there is really no dispute at this point. The livestock's long shadow pegged the piece of the pie as 18% of global greenhouse gas emissions coming from animal agriculture. That's above any other industry in the world, including transportation. When World Watch Institute recrunched the numbers, and they recrunched the data accounting for certain data streams that were left out of the calculations, they came up with a number of 51% for animal agriculture. So whether we say it's 18, whether we say it's 51, or whether we say it's somewhere in the middle of that data, we can certainly agree that the numbers are really significant. And it's something it's an issue that's very easy to resolve for the average person, regardless of economic status, regardless of any other of gender, of any other type of difference, because it's an issue that can be resolved with your fork, you know. And I like to say to people, it's actually something that although most things are based on an action, you know, you have to go out and recycle, you have to go out and compost. This is in many ways based on an inaction, based on not making a choice to reach your arm out in the grocery store in that meat aisle or in that dairy aisle or in that egg aisle. So I like to call this kind of the lazy person vegan.
I had one final question for you before we went, but I think Kevin wants to jump in here before we get to that. Kevin?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. Hi, Paul. This is Kevin. As a vegan and an environmentalist myself who supports proportional representation, I'm very susceptible to your message. I also like your focus, particularly in healthcare, on preventative medicine and nutritional counseling as opposed to ad hoc medical treatment for diseases that have already occurred. I too question the use of the word vegan. Being a vegan myself, I know I'm often treated as Darren said, as a bit of a loon. And even with a burgeoning awareness of environmental issues, vegans are still treated, it's still regarded with some skepticism. But I'm wondering, how much support are you garnering with this platform and with this name? Did you run a full slate of candidates in the last Ontario election, or what's your status really as a political entity?
Sure. We ran three candidates in the October 2011 elections. With those three candidates, we pulled in just under 400 votes, which doesn't seem like a lot, but if we factor in that we were at the time of the election, we were a party that was about a month old.
Right.
We were a party who was literally operating on a shoestring, and so we did very little because we didn't have the financial wherewithal to do very, very, very much. We did very little campaigning. So I think even putting aside, of course, we recognize that there's always a percentage of voters that vote kind of as a protest vote. But even putting aside that, I think that was relatively significant. And to harken back to your comment about vegans still being semi equated with looniness type thing, this is kind of another reason that we wanted to make sure that the word vegan was front and center in our party name. Not just because it informs an animal rights philosophy, informs the basis of all of our policies, you know, humans being animals as well, so our social justice for humans policies are informed by that as well, but also because we want to demystify the word vegan for people. We want to take away some of that misconception that there's something kind of weird about it.
Right.
I know myself personally, after I had three all candidates debates that I was able to participate in my riding, and I had multiple people come up after the all candidates debate to congratulate myself and the party on having such a comprehensive type of platform, and that there were things in our platform that they would be very willing to vote for. Incidentally, a lot of things in our platform that are not touched on with the breadth that we do by other political parties, including the Green Party.
All right. Well, I think that's a really good place to come back to my final question before I'm afraid we've run out of time. We're going to have to move on. But just in the last minute here, one of the other things that I sort of pulled from just from glancing over the entirety of your brief on the website there, which we will have a link up to afterwards as well, and give you an opportunity to say the website in any way if people want to get in contact with you as well. You can mention that as well. But one of the things I've noticed in the few years that I've been paying close attention to politics is that there's a significant number of people, like we can very easily sit on sort of the environmentalist side of the fence and say, okay, well, you know, we have all these facts and data and there's, you know, all this information showing how terrible consuming meat is for the planet, and it's not even really that great for your diet. It's certainly the old myth of, you know, more meat equals stronger is certainly been dissolved, but, you know,
right,
there's still sort of a social acceptance of this. Is that people's knee-jerk reaction isn't to, hey, you know, how dare you tell me not to eat meat? And you go, oh, well, here's a bunch of data that shows you why it's bad to eat meat. And they go, oh, okay, I agree with you. It's that there's just a fundamental worldview issue with a lot of voters on the other side of the aisle, if you will, that is really not even about the facts. It's about, I do not want a government telling me what I can and can't do. Even if, as a concept, they're willing to say that they're sympathetic to environmental ideas and they don't want to hurt the planet, as soon as it comes down to, I'm going to legislate this or I'm going to legislate that, a lot of people don't like that. Have you worked out a way to sort of either introduce this or soften it or approach that type of voter at all? Or are you sort of simply hoping that that's a small enough component that you can sidestep them?
Right. It is something that I've thought about at length and I've addressed with different voters. You know, when it comes down to what perhaps the core of our platforms and policies are as a party, I think you could boil them down to a couple of words. And two words that kind of spring to mind are harm reduction. So we are looking as much as possible, and I think this is actually something that's positive as a societal theme as well, to reduce harm for as many individuals as possible. Now, certainly for multiple reasons that you mentioned, including that it's better for your own individual health as a person not to consume animals, the moving to an ethos as a society, and certainly legislatively as a society, to a place where we are putting in place stopcocks, for lack of a better word, that in effect result in harm reduction, I think is a positive thing. And most people generally, I think, can go along with that. Now, certainly it is an argumentative shift that we have to make with people, a winning hearts and minds type of idea, get people to understand that the species, the arbitrary species line that's drawn between, okay, you are a human, so you are protected by law, and have an inherent right to expect a certain amount of harm reduction. You are a dog, you get a different type of harm reduction protected by law, and you as a quote-unquote food animal have virtually no protection. In fact, the way the legislation is written for animals that are considered food animals is that whatever is the industry standard is what is considered acceptable. So that leaves a lot of latitude and a lot of leeway. And I think part of the issue is that most people are not aware of the latitude and leeway that does exist within current legislative model. And as a result of the latitude and leeway, the incredibly horrific things that happen to these very sentient, very aware, feeling beings who really, for all intents and purposes, they really have their primary interest in avoiding suffering and harm.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Paul Figueres from the Vegan Environmental Party of Ontario. Paul, just before you go there, do you want to give people the web address and if there's an email address or something, people can contact you if they have further questions?
Absolutely. Currently, we have our web address currently down, but we have a Facebook page, and you can find that through Vegan Environmental Party. I can always be reached by email at earthcitizen@rogers.com. That's earthcitizen@rogers.com. And I wanted to thank you very much for having me on. It's been a really great conversation.